Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What I want to do is I want to talk to you about joy in the midst of trials, because we're talking about that on James. Hopefully, you're in the process of reading through James each week. So today was chapter 3. If you're doing that, just fun to read. What a great chapter. Every single chapter, so absolutely practical. And so we do that every week. If you jump into that, you'd be surprised how much of James you will know, and even be able to, in your mind, think of the outline of the book, if not remember the verses and where some verses are within the book. But I want to talk to you a little about sustaining joy in your life. And when we think about that, I can't think of anybody in the New Testament that is more qualified to give us insight into walking in joy than the Apostle Paul. Paul writes 3 prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And Philippians is a book where over 20 times, I think it's 23 times, the word joy is mentioned. So it's a book on joy, and he's not writing it from the penthouse of some mansion. He's writing it from prison. He's tied to a Roman soldier. The word he used for chains in verse 12 is the Greek word halousis. It's an 18-inch chain. And so he is chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. And they come in, and at 6-hour intervals, they are the ones who are changing. They're changing the guard. Somebody's chained. So it's one thing for Paul to be chained to a Roman soldier. It's another thing entirely for a Roman soldier to be chained to Paul. No, whether you've thought about that. And the results were predictable. People started getting saved. The gospel was advancing. So that by the end of the book, Paul says, all the people in Caesar's household greet you. Who is that? The Praetorian Guard who's been guarding Paul has now all gotten saved. I mean, it's that kind of thing. And what happens is people are drawn to the God Paul serves because of the joy with which Paul serves him and lives. And so Paul really becomes a larger-than-life example of how you and I would live with joy. Because you see, when we're talking about consider it all joy, count it all joy, when we're talking about that word, and it means literally lead yourself in joy. The problem for a lot of people is they view joy as a byproduct, when in fact joy is not a byproduct at all. Happiness is a byproduct. The word happiness comes from the word happenstance. It's chance. So if things are going good, then you're happy. If things are going bad, then you're sad. But joy is not like that. Joy is a continual experience of the joy of the Lord in your life, regardless of the circumstances you and I are going through. And it would certainly be a byproduct of the Holy Spirit working in us, but it's not a chance thing that happens in us. It is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. So when God is working in you, there is joy. But how many know that if you and I don't cooperate with the work of the Spirit in our life, we will not benefit from what the Spirit of God wants to do in our life? So don't ever think if God wants you to have joy, you're just going to have joy. There may be moments where God supernaturally does it for his own pleasure and purpose and to minister not only to you, to others. All of us, I hope you've had that experience where joy came on you. But what the Bible teaches relative to joy is not that you and I just sit back and hope joy comes, but the Bible tells us that you and I can actually live in an atmosphere and an attitude of joy, and it is you and I partnering with the Holy Spirit who's working in our life, but you and I doing our part. So it's just like this. In Philippians, Paul says, it's God who is at work in you. Now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If God is working, then I need to be working. Do you know what I'm saying? If God is working joy, if God wants joy, which we know he does, you and I have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit that you and I might walk in joy. The book of Philippians is brimming with joy. And this is a very important thing, as we said on Sunday, because the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10, is our strength. There is a strength when you and I are walking in joy. Research shows that joyful people experience less chance of having a heart attack, lower cholesterol, decreased stress levels, stronger immune systems, fewer aches and pains, and longer lives. So turn to your neighbor and say, you need to be joyful. It will be good for you, even if they're the biggest grump you know. But I want to give you four things that produce joy in the life of the believer. Because if we're going to lead ourselves to joy, how do we do that? And I think that's really the question. It's one thing to hear James tell us, lead yourself to joy. And he certainly gives us some things that can position us that way. But I would suggest that Paul in Philippians gives us some additional things that if we'll do them, make a massive difference. And a joyful Christian is the best advertisement for the gospel that there is. Joy comes, number one, when we pray with joy. Joy comes, number one, when we pray with joy. Look at this, verse 4, Philippians 1. And all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. It's a very interesting statement. Do you pray with joy? Or are your prayers more of a complaint? God, I don't understand why you're not doing this, why you're not doing that. God, I got to have you help me with this because my life's terrible. God, this is falling apart. I mean, how are you praying about your situation and the people that are a part of your life? Do you pray with joy? What I love about this is Paul not only says, I pray with joy, then Paul shows us how he prays with joy. Look at it. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. You say, well, that's, how's that a prayer? God, I just thank you that I'm here in this prison, but I am not alone because you've given me partners. You've given me people from the beginning who embrace the gospel, who are standing with me, helping me to spread the good news. God, I thank you for those people in my life. Watch this. And I'm certain God who has began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And Lord, I know you are coming back and I cannot wait. But I know in the meantime, you are working powerfully in all of our lives, in the lives of my partners who have partnered with me. And God, you're doing a work in them and you are faithful to complete that work. And you will keep working until the day you return. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and he says, so it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God, I just thank you. I just love those people so much. And Lord, wherever they're at, I know you've set your hand of favor on them and on me. Lord, I thank you that in whether I'm in prison or whether I'm defending the gospel, there is a favor of God on my life. He's praying that from the prison. You see, sometimes you got to see beyond what's happening physically and look at what's happening spiritually, because when you look at what God is doing in your life, always it will produce joy. But if you're bound to this world, if you can't come to a place where you're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, where you actually see the spiritual realities that are a part of your physical circumstances and move beyond what's happening physically to what God is doing spiritually, joy will be almost impossible for you to experience. I mean, so praying with joy is getting a spiritual mindset. about yourself, about your circumstances, about the people that you're with, loving those people. He finishes and says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. Lord, you put such a love in my heart for these people, and I just pray you'll be with them. And Lord, that they will know your love and your goodness, because you know, God, how much I love them. Start talking about the people you love and asking God, thanking God for them, putting them in your life, and you'll find that you'll have joy. Praying with joy always involves celebrating the work of God in the lives of people you love. So, who do you love? Are you praying with joy, celebrating it? And for most of us, our prayers honestly are too centered on ourselves for us to ever experience much joy. We really have to move, and I would challenge you, listen, does God care about what you're going through? Absolutely, he does. And there's nothing wrong with giving your list to the Lord. But I think we have to balance that with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. And prior to that, he gives a teaching on, hey, God took care of all the flowers of the field, the birds of the air. If he'll do that for those things, you're much more valuable. How much more will he do it for you? So don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. In other words, Jesus says, I want to make a deal with you. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. That, I would suggest, is the key to joy. In fact, I would encourage you to evaluate your time with the Lord and to look at it and to see how it's being spent. I think this is a very important discipline to begin to make changes that would bring joy into your life. If all of your time is spent thinking about you and your problems, then you will not be able to lead yourself into joy. On the other hand, if you say, you know what, I'm going to put Jesus first, that means I'm going to worship him. I think it was Derek Prince who said, if I have 10 minutes to pray, I spend 8 minutes worshiping the Lord. That's a really interesting thing. And I'm not suggesting that we replace prayer with worship. I'm suggesting that ministering to the Lord is the thing that's happening in heaven, is the thing that God desires. And when you and I do that, it puts us in a heavenly state of mind. You can pray for a lot of things in 2 minutes. But in my prayer life, what I do is I try to think in terms of I'm going to spend the first part of my prayer time. So I've got 4 quadrants. So I'm not saying it's that the time plays out that way, but I would say this. I'm going to spend the first part praising the Lord. I'm going to spend the second part. I pray for our team. I pray for the church. I feel like as a pastor, I have that responsibility to pray for those people. Then I'm praying for other people. So by the time I get to me, I may not get to me at all. And that doesn't bother me. Because I feel like, God, I took care of your business. I know you'll take care of mine. And I might on the way out of my prayer time say, Lord, just as you know, I desperately need wisdom, and help me to walk in humility, and help me to, you know, I mean, there's some things. There's a group of things I pray for myself, I ask God to do every day, but it doesn't take very long. The problems, by and large, will sort themselves out if you'll focus your attention on the Lord and pray with joy. Number 2, joy comes when we have a perspective of joy. Now, I love these verses. So Paul is in prison. He says, you know, you would have thought it would be bad, but it's turned out for the good because people are coming to Christ. And then he goes on and he adds this. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love. So the people preaching out of goodwill are doing it in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Here's what's happening. So Paul's got people who are jealous of his influence. They're jealous of his authority. They're jealous of his anointing. They're jealous of the fact that he lays hands on the sick, which is certainly an obvious part of his ministry. Wherever he goes, people are being healed, and they're jealous of him. And now what they're doing is they're saying, well, you know, Paul's in prison because God's done using him. Paul's in prison because something's wrong with his life. We can't see it. We don't know what it is, but come on. If God loved you as much as Paul says God loves him, why is he in prison? What they're doing is they're stirring up trouble. They're trying to gather Paul's converts to themselves. And Paul's in prison, and there's nothing he can do about it. But he knows it's going on. See, a lot of times what robs people's joy is it's what other people in their sphere are doing and saying about them. Or there's a sense of competition, or there's just this sense of what's happening with other people, and it can irritate you. Well, she said that, or he did that, or they're planning that. Paul's in prison. He can't do anything about it. Here's his attitude. Watch, verse 18. But what does it matter? So what? So what? So what? So somebody's saying something about you. So what? So somebody's trying to do something. So what? Somebody's saying something about you. It's not true. So what? Listen, you got a choice. You can either get worked up about that, and many times there's nothing you can do about it anyway, and so you got all this anxiety going on in you, and you know what? In the long run, so what? So what? You know, we have to learn to sort out what's really worth getting excited about and what is not. And if you can't discern what's worth focusing on from what you should be letting go, you'll never have joy. You'll always be worked up about the wrong things. This is Paul. What does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether it's from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You know what he's saying? God can use even people with a horrible motive, even people who are out to attack him. He can use their actions to advance the gospel. Paul has such confidence in the power of God to work, he's not even worried about defending himself. See, a lot of times people don't have joy because they want to be defended. Forget it. So somebody says something about James River. So what? So somebody says something about John Lindell. So what? So, I mean, seriously, it wasn't very bold, very big, very strong. Let's all say that together. So what? Doesn't feel good. So what? I mean, seriously, it puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? So what? Who cares? Now, listen, we're not trying to live a life that aggravates people or invites criticism, but if you're doing anything for the Lord, people are going to be aggravated and they're going to criticize. So you know what? So if they are, so what? Yeah. Okay. So what? And because of this, I rejoice. You know what? I have such confidence that God is at work. I have such confidence that God is working. I have such confidence that God is going before us. I have such confidence that, you know what? I can rejoice. I can rejoice. You know what? And I will continue to rejoice. I don't see any end of it because I don't see any end of God working, and I can see that he's working. I know that he's working, and he can work through people who have good motives. He can work through people who have bad motives. He can work through people who criticize me. He can work in any situation, and so I rejoice in the Lord. Let it go. Rejoice in the Lord. I just think it's such a beautiful thing of Paul. He could be all tied up in knots in prison. And he says, so what? He said, you know what? God's at work, and I rejoice in that. And because he's at work, I know he'll continue to be at work and I will rejoice. Well, number three, joy comes when people's spiritual growth is something we participate in. So, okay, we're talking about leading yourself to joy, okay? So what could you do that would lead you into joy? Get involved in a way that helps people grow spiritually in the Lord. Can I tell you, there is nothing more exciting. And as a pastor, you get to see it on a scale that's really very dynamic, than watching people grow in the Lord and seeing people who at one time were one way, and now, you know, weeks later, months later, years later, decades later, are totally different. And you're like, wow, this is absolutely amazing to watch. Because you took somebody out, because you invested, because you challenged somebody who had no interest in spiritual things, you challenged them, and through your life, it wasn't like you were confronting them, it was like you were encouraging them. You ought to take a step in this. You ought to try this. Hey, would you do this with me? You know, one of the things I think is really good to do is to ask lost people to do something ministry-oriented with you. I mean, we gave away hundreds of thousands of pounds of food. How about you invite a lost person to a Saturday serve? I just believe in that principle. I invited somebody on a missions trip to the jungles of Panama. His wife laughed and said, he doesn't even have a hammer, and if he did, he wouldn't know how to use it. What would he build in the jungle? I said, I don't know, be interesting to see. I didn't care what he was gonna build in the jungle. I cared what God was gonna do in the jungle, right? So, you know, you invite people on this journey and they're like ministering to people. And I'm gonna tell you what, when they see what ministry does to somebody else, what happens is it opens their heart to the work of the Holy Spirit in them to change their life. Participate in other people's spiritual growth. Watch this. Convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. What he's talking about is he's saying, you know what, if I have my choice, I'd rather die and go to be with the Lord, but I know you need me, so I have the sense in my heart that even though I'm in prison and even though I'm under a sentence of death, I think things are gonna work out. I think I'm gonna be around for a while. That's what he's saying. He says, either way, I'm okay. If I'm wrong, either way, I'm okay, because to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the context for this. So then he says, convinced that I'm gonna be around for a while, I will continue with all of you, watch this, for what? For your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on what? Account of me. In other words, people will be thanking God and rejoicing in the Lord because Paul invested in them. And when people have joy, Paul has what? Joy. I mean, if your ministry brings somebody to a greater point of Christ-likeness and they have the joy of the Lord, what's that gonna do to you? Give you joy. A lot of times, I'm gonna tell you this. This is axiomatic. In other words, this is true if nothing else is true. The happiest people in any church are the people who are involved, period. I've never seen any exception to that ever in my whole ministry. The happiest people in any church. You know, and here's the reason why. They're so busy pulling on the oars, they don't have time to rock the boat. You know, they're too busy. They're like, we're headed somewhere. We're doing something. They're not standing, you know, jumping up and down, throwing a tantrum on the boat, because they're helping people. They're ministering. This is what Paul is saying. Do you realize this is why we are here? We are here for the sake of other people's spiritual growth, period. Everything else we could do better in heaven. You can't reach people. There are two groups of people. We're here to lead people who don't know Jesus to a saving faith. Can't do that in heaven. Got to do it here. And we're here to help people who do know Jesus grow in him. In heaven, that's just going to happen. And to that end, I'm asking you, what investment are you making in the lives of others? You know, a lot of times people think, well, you know, I don't need that. I don't need to do that. Well, it's not about you. And the reason why you don't have joy is because you've made it about you. It's the reason you're grumpy. It's the reason why you get irritated when somebody took your seat. It's the reason why you don't like the temperature, you don't like the sound, you don't like this, you don't like that, you don't like the parking lot, don't like those parking lot people, you don't like, you know, it's because you're here for you. And you forgot, we come here for him. And we come here for one another. That's why we're here. We're here for him. I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. Listen, I've preached to, you know, five people, you know, most of them Lindels. It's just not the same. You make it, I'm here for you, right? So to that end, that's why you need to get in a life group. I mean, seriously, you say, well, I don't really need that. It's not about you. It's not what you need or don't need. It's that you're going to have joy when you participate in the spiritual growth of other people, and you're going to give them joy, and that's going to give you joy, and you're going to be like, wow, I've led myself into joy by getting in a life group. I've led myself into joy by getting on a dream team. I mean, the dream teamers, they have so much fun. They're here early in the morning. I'm still drinking coffee to get going, and they're waving and happy, and I'm like, wow, I got to start sooner on the coffee to keep up with them. They are so happy. I mean, the people who are here early in the morning are the happiest people. I love it. They are amazing. And all of you who serve, you're just happy people. Here's what a business person said. They came in here and they said, This church reminds me of a place filled with tiggers. You guys are like the happiest people I've ever seen. Why? Because at James River, we have a very high volume of serving. We don't pay for as much to be done because we think the work of the ministry belongs to the people of God. Because it builds us when we serve God. You don't need to pay for it to be done. You need to roll up your sleeves and say, I'm here. And it will give you joy. Well, finally, let me say this. Joy comes when we have praiseworthy thoughts. What are you thinking about? Who are you thinking about? You thinking about yourself? Are you thinking about how somebody wronged you? Are you thinking about how someone has more than you, more friends, more resource, more of whatever they have, more opportunity? Or maybe are you one of those people who you're a worst case scenario person? You know, what's that game where is it called worst case scenario, or is that what it's called? Yeah. I sat and watched Savannah and Michael and some others play it, and I was like, you know, good on you. I said, I'm going to make a game called best case scenario. That's what I'm going to do. Because I'd rather think about the best case scenario than the worst case scenario. You know, so anyway, don't know how I got on that, but some of you, that's how you live. The worst case, oh, I'm not feeling good. Worst case scenario. Oh, my money, some of you are so wrapped up in world events. And I mean, if you listen to the news, it's worst case scenario city. Some of you, the first key for joy would be to turn off the TV news. That would really, you'd find joy returning like you'd never imagined. Because if you listen to enough, and listen, it's entertainment. Don't forget it. It's not news, it's entertainment. And it's designed to scare the daylights out of you so that you'll keep watching. And I'm just saying to you, listen, I'm not for ignorance, but I don't think you need a lot to know. You don't need to read a lot or see a lot to know what's happening in the world. But I'm saying there's some of you, and you, worst case scenario is where you go in your mind, and it's not helpful for you. And if those are the things you're thinking about, your joy is diminished until it's decimated. So what do you need to do? I love this. Don't be anxious about anything. Worst case scenario has to go. but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, you're never going to understand it, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. I like the translation says, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. Better than understanding what you're going through is having the peace of God on you, because some things I don't think we can understand this side of heaven. So I'd rather have the peace of God be, and sometimes even if you understood it, you wouldn't have peace. Watch this. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right or righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How do I lead myself into joy? I change not only what I think, but how I think. I decide to think on the good. I decide to look for the good. Some of you are, you would define yourself as a glass half full person. Got to change. Or half empty, I guess is the word. I'm a glass half empty person. Can I just tell you something? The pessimist will never know the same amount of joy as the optimist. It's impossible. You have to change how you think. You say, well, that's just how I'm wired. I don't know who told you that. Maybe you've told yourself that, but that's not true. You can lead yourself into a joyful, faith-filled optimism. You can lead yourself. You can decide, I'm going to stop looking at the worst part of it and look at the best part of it. I'm going to stop thinking about what I don't have and start thinking about what I do have. I'm going to stop thinking about the negative and I'm going to start thinking about the positive. I'm going to stop thinking about it in terms of what if God doesn't and think about, wow, think of what God could do. And you begin to do that. What happens? It changes you and it gives you joy.